U.S. Supreme Court decided to temporarily block a Texas law that would have taken effect this week. The law would have limited large social media companies' ability to moderate content on their platforms. Supporters of the law have argued that those companies are silencing conservative viewpoints. The case again brings up the question of how the First Amendment should be applied to speech on the internet. Our guest says the laws in Texas and elsewhere get things wrong, but he says social media companies are making bad arguments too. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How much ability should social media platforms have to limit what appears on their platforms? Where should the line be drawn? Who should draw it? How much should the government step in to regulate it? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Scott Wilkins is a senior staff attorney at the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University, where he focuses on freedom of speech online and government regulation of social media platforms. Scott, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. It's great to join you.
Now, off the top, Scott, you are a lead counsel on an amicus brief that the Knight First Amendment Institute submitted in the Texas case. You have concerns about the Texas law and some others. What worries you about the way, say, Texas approached this issue?
Texas really has taken an extreme position that the First Amendment doesn't apply to social media platforms, that companies like Twitter and Facebook, they have no First Amendment rights when they offer their platforms to users. And in essence, that the state, that Texas, that state governments, and maybe even the federal government can wield enormous power over speech on these platforms.
So what exactly would this Texas law do if it ultimately gets approved in the court system?
It does really two things, and we view the two things a bit differently. The first is that it would prohibit the platforms from taking down content that the platforms don't want to publish. This provision basically says you can't take down any content because of its viewpoint. The law doesn't define viewpoint, but you know, I think as understood by most reasonable people, it means that the social media platforms would have to host a lot of content that they find objectionable that they currently take down. The second thing that the law would do is it would require the platforms to disclose a range of important information to users and the public, commercial information of various kinds, some of it that has to do with their content moderation. And we think that the first thing I mentioned, this requirement to host content that you don't want to publish, that is very problematic. The second thing, the disclosure requirements, are a more difficult question under the First Amendment. And you know, we think that some disclosure requirements would likely pass a First Amendment test.
A lot of the motivation here seems to be concerns that some platforms, like Twitter, for example, treat conservatives unfairly, including blocking former President Trump after the January 6th insurrection. Some studies have suggested it isn't so much that conservatives are targeted, but that they run afoul sometimes of misinformation policies. How much is this partisan concern driving these kind of laws?
Well, the government in Texas, I mean, certainly the governor and various other officials in Texas made it very clear that that this law, HB 20, was motivated by the idea that these platforms silence or are biased against conservative voices. There's no secret about that. But beyond that, it's really hard to know, you know, what was in legislators' minds or anything. It's just statements that were made by the governor and others in the state government.
Now, you've also written critically about some of the arguments coming from social media companies or organizations representing them and how they characterize their role and their relationship to the First Amendment. What do you see wrong on that side?
Yeah, so, you know, a moment ago I said Texas, you know, basically says that these social media companies have no First Amendment rights. And the social media companies kind of are on the opposite end of the spectrum. They say they have enormous First Amendment rights that basically any government regulation that implicates, that touches on their First Amendment rights is unconstitutional. So basically the government really can't do anything. to regulate the social media platforms. And that we just think that's, you know, plainly wrong, just like the Texas position is wrong. And, you know, what we think is really important here is to understand that the government can have a constructive, a positive role in regulating these platforms to ensure that the platforms serve our democracy, serve public discourse. And one of the ways that the government can do that is by requiring the platforms to disclose how they treat user content, how they moderate content, what their policies are. There are various ways that the government could require platforms to be more transparent, and that transparency could really serve the public.
And one of the tricky things here is kind of dueling metaphors about what a social media platform is. The argument, I think, from social media companies is, we're like a newspaper. So freedom of the press protections are there. We have a right to say what content does and doesn't appear on the stuff we own. The Texas law, and I think others say, no, you're more like a, you know, you're like the phone company. You don't get to decide who gets to call who and say what to whom. If I understand some of what I've read by you correctly, it's kind of a little of both and a little of neither.
Well, yes. I mean, in the sense that certainly when it comes to the newspaper analogy, I mean, we agree that there are some similarities. You have to really look at the specific activity you're talking about, and does that really look like something that similar to what newspapers do editorially? So we see some similarities there and some differences, and I'll come back to that. We don't really, I mean, it seems to us like the common carrier issue, the sort of, are you like, you know, the Telegraph or something, that's kind of in some ways an all or nothing question. So it's hard to be a little bit, you know, like the Telegraph. But on the First Amendment question and the newspapers, you know, there are some similarities, and the two ones that we point to that are important here are the ability to decide what you will and won't publish, what content you'll put up and what content you won't. And that seems very much like what a newspaper editorial room does when it decides what will appear in the newspaper and what won't appear. The other thing that seems quite similar to us is when a platform decides to label content, to actually speak itself about what's on the platform, that just seems to be a little bit like when a newspaper publishes an editorial.
We're talking to Scott Wilkins from the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University, looking at social media and the First Amendment after the U.S. Supreme Court this week blocked, for now, a Texas law from going into effect. It would have stopped large social media companies from moderating certain kinds of speech on their platforms. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How much do you want social media companies to control what appears from users on their sites? Should they be able to restrict misinformation? Should they not be able to? Should states, should the federal government do more to regulate? What questions do you have about how all this works? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Scott Wilkins, senior staff attorney at the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University, looking at the ways that Texas and Florida are trying to regulate large social media companies and platforms in their states. This week, the U.S. Supreme Court blocked a Texas law from coming into effect. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, your opinions, and maybe your experiences encountering content moderation that blocked you or didn't block somebody you think ought to have been blocked. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Rochelle is with us in Minneapolis. Rochelle, hi.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm in the car, so hopefully I am not breaking up.
Loud and clear.
Awesome, thank you so much. I work in the legal cannabis industry as a writer and journalist, and this is an issue that we face quite frequently in this space, and to a lesser extent, tobacco. So it's definitely not just political speech that's being targeted. Cannabis accounts are being flagged and deleted constantly with no chance to review. And what our understanding of it is mostly that social media companies are deploying to find content that they deem unacceptable or goes against their rules. And so I was hoping that you could speak a little bit to the technology to let people know how this content is being moderated.
Rochelle, thanks for the call. A complicated question, Scott. I imagine it's different from one platform to another, but in a case like this, a legal industry in some places, an illegal industry in others, how might that interact with moderation systems?
Sure. I will address that to the extent that I can.
Sure.
I'm not a technologist here, but the companies use a variety of methods, which they do disclose to some degree on their websites, whether they're automated methods like algorithms, whether they're other users flagging what other users do. And sometimes, it's actually just employees at the company that are assigned to review various kinds of content. So there's a real mixture of ways. But, one of the things that's really important from our perspective, in terms of the kind of disclosure and transparency of the platforms, is that there be some way for users to be notified when their content is taken down or some other adverse action is taken against their content, and also that users have a right to appeal. Those are at least important considerations. They are different from the government telling platforms what they must and must not host. But providing that kind of due process can be very important to protect the speech of users.
Rochelle, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Now, let's go back to Texas now. We had the U.S. Supreme Court say, Texas, you can't enforce that thing for now. Why did they do that?
It's hard to know why the five-justice majority did that. They didn't provide any explanation. So we really don't know. All that we have is the word of three justices in dissent, and really that's the only information that we have.
What did the dissenters say?
Well, they basically said, the first thing they said is this is an incredibly important question that will come before the court. So that's certainly a signal that at least three justices believe that this is an issue that belongs before the court. But they basically said that for various reasons they would have. So basically, the Fifth Circuit, the intermediate federal court, had put the law, had allowed the law to go into effect. And the Supreme Court said, we feel like we shouldn't be stepping in here. This is not the kind of situation where we need to step in. We should have just let the lower courts do what they're doing. And we will hear the case when it eventually comes to us in the normal way. We'll do a full appeal if we take the case. But for right now, we shouldn't get involved. And the majority disagreed. And the majority said, nope, we're going to get involved and we're going to put this law on hold. They didn't say why, but they took that very important step here. And we think it was a really key step for free speech.
So what is next in the process from now until it gets back to the Supreme Court?
Basically, this case out of Texas, it's now back before the Fifth Circuit, the intermediate court. And the Fifth Circuit will, at some point in the next weeks or months, issue an actual decision on the merits, telling us what they think about this law, whether it's unconstitutional, constitutional, parts of it maybe constitutional or not. And then it's very likely that either side or both sides will appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the court may very well take that case because it is so important. There is another case out of Florida that's currently in another court of appeals. That case will also likely be appealed to the Supreme Court. So they'll have more than one chance to take up this general issue.
Now, something that's weird. This is Texas issuing a law here. There's no such thing as Texas Twitter. It's interstate, international. What happens when a state tries to regulate something that clearly flows through its borders, but also beyond its borders?
Well, it's really hard to know here, partly because, obviously this is the internet, as everyone knows. It doesn't end at state borders, nor do these companies' operations. And, we really don't know what the companies' options are because we don't really, see under the hood and know what all the operations are. So it's just hard to know. For example, here, these two laws have been passed, one in Texas, one in Florida. They're different. They have some similarities, but they're different. So if you're Facebook or Twitter, how would you comply with both of them at the same time? I think that would be certainly a challenge for these companies, but we feel strongly that the key provisions of the Texas law and also the Florida law are unconstitutional. And so we hope that the social media companies will not have to have to deal with these the key parts of these statutes, which prevent them from taking down content they want to take down.
If they do end up getting approved by the U.S. Supreme Court, what could that end up meaning for, say, Twitter or Facebook and their ability to limit content, not just, you know, political content or whatever, but stuff that I think a lot of people would agree they don't want to see on their social media feeds?
Well, that's certainly one of the things they've been saying. And we think it's generally right that the Texas law, for example, as I said earlier, if it went into effect, it would require them to publish a lot of content that I don't think anybody really wants to see. I mean, we're talking about glorifications of violence, suicide, pornography, hate speech, all kinds of things that the platforms currently try to take down. They may not succeed all the time. They may make mistakes. But these are things that I don't think anybody wants to see. And I think the platforms would be prevented from taking those steps.
Scott, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks very much, Rob. It's been great being here.
Scott Wilkins, a senior staff attorney at the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University. He was with us today to talk about the First Amendment and the internet and social media. That's after the U.S. Supreme Court blocked a Texas law from going into effect this week. That law would have prevented social media companies from being able to moderate a lot of content on their platform.